14, verses 34 and 35. And we're reading from the King James Bible. If you have that, let's read together in unison, shall we? Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm going to talk to you this morning on the subject. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the subject that salt is good. Contrary to what you hear from our government, from all most health-related industries, that salt is good. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for being a wonderful God. Thank you for church this morning, folks that are here. Thank you for salvation, dear God. And just please bless your Holy Spirit of God. Speak to our hearts this morning. Help us understand this truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you've been here for the last few weeks now, you've known that I've preached or taught on the subjects of water, milk, and today salt. If you've noticed, the last two sermons on Sunday morning, including this one, there's nothing wrong with water. As a matter of fact, water is good for you and needful. It's just that 85% of people drink municipal water that has many ingredients that they put in, like fluoride, that's not good for you. And only 15% drink tap water. There's nothing wrong with water, except the water may not be the right water that you're drinking. We went through bottled water too. Then last week, milk. Milk is good. Milk is necessary for growth. It's a necessary ingredient for growth. That's what the Bible says. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The problem is that most people that are drinking milk today, it's the wrong milk that you're drinking. When you're drinking milk that has hormones in it and change the composition through pasteurization, it's not the same milk that our forefathers drank 100 years plus ago. And it's not the sincere milk that the Bible talks about, the colostrum and the mother's milk from nursing a baby. We covered that enough last Sunday, amen. This morning I'm talking about salt. Salt is one of the most important ingredients that you will ever have in your body. It is necessary. It is good. Again, the problem, as with water and milk, the problem is most people are ingesting the wrong kinds of salt. That's not good for you. If I probably won't mention this again, but if you want to have good salt, you should use sea salt. Now, the McManus are probably sick and tired of sea water salt, I guess, maybe. But it's good to have you in church this morning, traveling back to Alabama. You pray for them as they travel back home, please. But I'm glad that you're here this morning. But depending on what salt you use, it could be good or bad. If you're eating junk food and you have a lot of salt in your food, you're probably digesting the wrong kinds of salt, and that's why they're telling you that salt is not good for you for hypertension, high blood pressure, and you name a whole kind of slew of things, medical problems that you can have as a result of ingesting too much salt. You know, it keeps water, you know, in your body. But the Bible teaches, Jesus said salt is good, and the right kind of salt is not just good, but it's very necessary for your body. There are over 14,000 uses of salts. Many were for simple things around the house. Before the modern chemicals and cleaners came along, salt was used as a cleanser. You'll find out, and I'm sure you'll know some of these things, but salt is good for tasting. Salt brings out the flavor of meat. It brings out the individuality of vegetables and into bland starches and deepens the flavor of delicate desserts and develops flavor of melons and certain other fruits. And when you add salt to it, it brings out a seasoning that only salt can produce, ladies and gentlemen. Salt is an excellent cleaning agent. by itself or in combination with other substances. A solution of salt and turpentine restores the whiteness to yellowed enameled bathtubs and lavatories. A paste of salt and vinegar cleans tarnished brass or copper. You pour strong brine poured down the kitchen sink to prevent grease from collecting and eliminating odors. Salt helps destroy moths and drives away ants. A dash of salt in laundry starch keeps the iron from sticking and gives... Daniel, you paying attention? Okay. From sticking and gives linen and fine cottons a glossy, like new finish. A thin paste of salt and salad oil removes white marks caused by hot dishes or water from wooden tables. A box of salt is always important in bathrooms. In mild solutions, it makes an excellent mouthwash, throat gargle, and even eye wash. It is an effective detrifice, it is an effective antiseptic, and it can be extremely helpful as a massage element to improve complexion. Salt is more important than we think it is, ladies and gentlemen. Salt, also, as you know, is a preservative. Years ago, before refrigeration, before we have modern conveniences of electricity, the refrigerators and the freezers that most of us have in this room, people use salt to preserve their food. Salt is the world's oldest additive. Salt brings the food far more than what you think it does. It brings out the sweetness of food, things that are sour and bitter. It enhances other tastes. It makes the sweets sweeter. Salt masks bitter tastes, making naturally bitter foods like chocolate and broccoli become delicious. Before recorded history, man learned that salt's key role in food safety and preservation was used by retarding the growth of spoilage microorganisms. And so a lot of modern technology today has displaced in our minds the beneficial uses of salt. Again, depending what salt you use. Salt is an essential nutrient. An essential nutrient is one required for life that the body cannot produce itself and which is required for good health. In people, salt is as essential as water. We can perish from too little salt as we can of thirst. The human body contains about 8 ounces of salt, and the amount of salt is regulated in our bodies by our kidneys and by perspiration. One component of salt, sodium, is involved in muscle contraction, including heartbeat, nerve impulses, and the digestion of bodybuilding protein. Sodium is easily absorbed and is active in the absorption of other nutrients in the small intestine. Sodium is the major extracellular electrolyte responsible for regulating water balance, pH, and osmotic pressure. It is important in nerve conduction. Because of sodium's importance to your body, several interacting mechanisms, including generation of hormones, angiotensin, and I don't know if I can pronounce this right, aldosterone, adjust the system in the event of consumption of insufficient amounts of salt, which would threaten the body's nerves and muscles, and interference with the sodium-potassium pump, which adjusts the cellular pressures in your body. If your salt intake varies widely, all these mechanisms activate to assure that your body remains healthy, maintaining a relatively constant blood pressure. I mean, I think we overlook the importance of salt. And when Jesus says salt is good, then we ought to pay attention. Number one, salt is good for taste. And Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, you are supposed to be the salt of the earth. That means we're supposed to be a good taste in people's mouths, in our personal relations with people, in our interactions with people. People want to know us as being graceful and gracious and kind and loving and merciful and forgiving and patient. People want to know us by, you know what? They seem to be a very nice person until they hear me preach. Amen. Please, don't misunderstand my personality and my preaching. Please understand that those are completely separate and apart. Amen. I try to be kind to everybody. I said I try. okay? Sometimes it can be difficult, I agree. But you and I are commanded to be kind and gentle as a nurse, the Bible says, amen? Well, that ought to leave in people's mouths a sweet taste. They may not agree with everything that you do and everything that you believe and what you stand for, but you can be like salt and leave a good taste in people's mouths with your interactions. So the first thing that salt is, it is a taste thing. It brings out what it could otherwise be bitter, a sweet taste. Also, salt is a preservative. Amen? You may not understand this a lot, but people used to bury their meat buried in salt in the ground. They just put salt in the ground, put the ham or turkey, whatever meat they had, or venison, and just cover the whole thing with salt, and that salt preserved it. No bugs or ants or anything would get to that salt, and that's how people used to preserve their meat. They smoked it and did other things also, but salt was very important. All right, for instance, you know where the words you get, you're not worth your salt, your weight in salt? That comes from the ancient Greeks when they used to trade for slaves. They used to pay them with salt. They used to buy with salt. And depending upon the weight, they would have the weight of salt. They would buy people. I mean, salt at one time was as valuable as gold was. It's hard for us to understand that. But gold is like $1,600 an ounce, somewhere around there. Can you imagine the salt that you throw out that you supposedly don't think you need today? It at one time was as valuable in certain parts of the world as gold is because of its preservative nature. You have to understand, years ago, 100 years plus before, they didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have freezing rooms and freezers like we have today. And so a Christian, a believer, you are left here to preserve whatever goodness is left in this world. And as you can tell, there's not much left, amen? But still, your presence is important wherever you are. People don't like salt because it can rub you the wrong way sometimes. But salt can be sweet, and salt is also a preservative. Church ought to be a salt of the earth, amen? There ought to be a lighthouse somewhere where somebody stands for the old-time religion, amen? There ought to be some place in every single town where a group of people gather together and say, you know what? We're not changing because the world's changing. We're not changing our Bible versions because other churches are changing. We're not changing our standards because other people are changing. We're not changing our doctrines. We're not changing our beliefs. You go back 26 years ago, we started the Boys Club, July 1, 1987. We believe the exact same thing we believed 26 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. Because salt is a preservative. It may not be as popular as it used to be, huh? You think you don't need salt no more because now you just plug in your refrigerator, amen? You don't have to worry about preparing foods and storing foods and make sure they're being well kept in a barrel of salt somewhere. You just go to Hannaford's or Price Chopper and you just take it out from one refrigeration, get in your car, and you go back home to another refrigeration and you don't even think about how important salt is. Well, I got news for you. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth for taste. Hey, do your neighbors know you as being kind and nice or not? Do people know you as being forgiving and merciful or not? Do people know you as being patient with them? Or have you lost your salt? Have you lost your taste? Are you good for nothing the way Jesus said? The second thing is, are you a preservative? Are you a preservative? Whether it's popular or not, whether it's in use or not, are you being the preservative that God wants you to be? We don't realize this, but our word salary comes from the Latin word salarium. Roman soldiers used to be paid by salt. It was so valuable, either a portion or all of their wages were paid in salt. Because salt was so important. You'd rather get Monopoly money, green cash, it's not worth anything. It's not worth the paper it's printed on today. But in your mind, you think it's important, so you want cash. But back then, salt was important, ladies and gentlemen. Wars were fought over salt. Do you realize India gained their independence when Britain put a tax on salt? And Mahatma Gandhi, you know what he did? He went to the ocean and got his own salt, dried the water, you know, dried it out, and refused to pay the tax for the British Empire, and that's how the revolt in India got their independence, through salt, the salt tax. You look at the French Revolution. The French Revolution started because of the salt tax that they put on people. Wars have been fought over a substance that we don't even think about today. You don't think it's so important today. Salt is a cleansing agent, as we read. Ask a question. Are you cleaning your life up? Or is God cleaning your life up? Huh? Are you a cleansing agent where you're at? Huh? Or are you living in the modern day, modern technology where you just plug things in, and now you, most people, you know what they want? They want artificial sweeteners. Yeah, you know what artificial sweeteners are? You can see in the labels. It says NIV, RSV, ASV, NASV, MICKEY, all that other junk. Those are artificial sweeteners that people use, not knowing that it's detrimental to your spiritual health. I said it's detrimental to your spiritual health. People no longer look at the ingredients anymore. They don't care about the water they drink. They don't care about the milk their children ingest. And they don't care about how their foods are made sweet. You don't care what kind of sweeteners are in there. You don't care what kind of coloring is in there. As long as you can afford it, it's cheap enough, and it looks good, and it tastes good, you don't even care how they sweeten that stuff with. But I'm telling you, it's chemically inducing, and it's ruining your body. Read this. Luke chapter 14. Jesus said, verse 34, salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Colossians chapter number 4, please. Take your Bibles. Colossians chapter number 4. Are you salt the way you ought to be salt? Colossians chapter number 4. How's your speech? Again, I don't think Elijah was very graceful on Mount Carmel, amen. Don't mix up preaching with your personal standards of conduct in being gracious and kind. I mean, you can't even get people to say thank you anymore. You don't even get people to say you're welcome anymore. You don't even get people to open doors for other people anymore. You don't even get people to say, no, you go first. Go ahead. I'll wait. You can't even get people to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, anymore. You can't get people to be polite anymore. People don't even know how to greet each other anymore. You realize when you walk in a room, you're supposed to greet people? When you leave, you're supposed to say goodbye. Hello. How you doing? Bye. Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I mean, do you think about the words you use when you speak to somebody? Or do you say to yourself, I better not say that. It might hurt somebody's feelings. I might offend somebody. If you cared about people's souls, you'd be careful about the words you use. Now, listen to me good. Please don't come here and try to throw the salt out, because we need salt here for cleansing. Amen. Please don't come here and say, well, I don't like that kind of salt, because we need it for preservative. Amen. Please don't come here and say, well, I don't like that kind of salt preaching. You know? I'm sorry. We need it. We need it. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. Do you realize that if you drink salt water, you'll die? You say, well, you look at that water, man. As I mentioned before, 2 weeks ago, but if you just drink salt water because you're thirsty, you're going to die. You know why? Too much salt will kill you. So the right amount of salt is what we need. Too little salt is not good for you, and too much salt is not good for you. You need the right kind of intake on a daily basis for your body to function correctly. James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. verse number 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Are you nice to some people but not nice to others? My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, talking to God's people, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. What are you producing? Are you producing those living waters that we talked about 2 weeks ago that are like a fountain springing up that Jesus talked about? Or are you producing bitter water, salt water that kills people? The same place cannot produce both. It's an amazing thing. Take a Bible, turn to Leviticus chapter number 2, please. Leviticus 2. If you read the Old Testament, the Jews were commanded over and over to use salt for their sacrifices and their offerings. Leviticus chapter number 2. And by the way, the Jews use salt to kosher their foods, by the way. Because salt has the ingredient, the power, to extract blood and all the bacteria from meats and other foods when it's covered with salt. Now, you may not think the salt that you're ingesting, most people, not good for you. And so all you've been hearing is a bombardment of salt's not good, salt's not good, salt's not good. I'd rather believe what Jesus Christ said than what the government says, amen? It's the wrong kind of salt that we're ingesting. Leviticus chapter number 2 and verse number 12. As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. For instance, like garlic salt. You know, garlic is mostly salt, but they add garlic in there. But don't you, when you barbecue, when you're cooking, don't you add some salt? Hopefully it's good salt. I know you probably, I apologize for that. My wife adds herbs and stuff like that when she cooks it, amen. But don't you, when you cook or prepare a meal, add salt to it and seasoning to it to make it taste and bring the taste out better? Sure. It was a command from God for God's people every time they had an offering, every time they had a sacrifice, to use salt and not to lack in it. I'd rather believe God what God says, amen? That's very interesting. Keep that in the back of your mind, please. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. And in order to get that salt out of the water, the sea salt, the seawater, you have to let it dry, and the salt crystals left behind are good for you. As a matter of fact, they're the most natural, best salt that you can consume. But you cannot have the water and the salt, the sea water and the salt together, salt water. It will kill you. That's why nothing grows in the Dead Sea. It was called the Salt Sea. The Dead Sea, there's no fish in there because it's all salt. As a matter of fact, it's so dead and so much salt that you can literally walk into the Dead Sea and float without knowing how to swim. If there's so much salt in there, it keeps your body afloat. Matthew chapter number 5. In order to get the salt that is the best salt for you from the ocean, seawater, salt water, you have to, I know this is a tough word for everybody, you have to separate the salt from the water. And you cannot be used of God, ladies and gentlemen, until the salt of the earth separates itself from the waters of the people and becomes separate and apart. You'll hardly hear that preaching anymore. But if you want God's blessings on your life, if you want the power of God on your life, if you want God to answer your prayers, if you want to have an intimate walk with Jesus Christ, I suggest you separate your salt from the waters of the world, ladies and gentlemen. If you're to be the kind of salt that God is going to say, boy, that seasoning smells good, man. Boy, that savor, oh, man. That smells good. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. I ask a question. Does kindness and grace proceed out of your lips? Are you patient? Are you forgiving? Are you merciful? Is your life any indication of preserving truthfulness and principles of the Word of God with those you come in contact with? Are you a cleansing agent? Most people live in filthy conditions today. I blame my mom, I guess. I don't know. But I was a neat freak growing up, and I'm still a neat freak now. I don't understand how people can live like a bunch of pigs. I don't know. But you ought to be a cleansing agent wherever you're at. And you ought to be seasoning. You ought to be seasoning for cooking. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. I ask you this question, are you good for nothing? Are you good for nothing? What are you doing? How's your salt life? We'll close with this. Mark chapter number 9. I want you to think about the statement I'm about to make. California, I read this week, is about to vote on not allowing people to have campfires or fires on the sand, on the seashore, the coast of California. You know how people used to go on the shores there and just at nighttime used to sing songs and just have a group of family or friends together and they just get around a campfire and just burn wood, you know, driftwood or whatever wood on the sand. The California legislature is about to ban that because of too much fire or smoke being polluted into the air. Well, I got news for you. God's about to burn this whole place up. And there's no legislation going to stop. There ain't no legislation. There ain't no demonstration. There ain't going to be any movement that's going to stop the burning of this earth when God is done with it. But I'll remind you, Christian, that if you want to be the right kind of salt, God uses seasoning before the sacrifice. God uses salt before the offering. If He commanded His people to do it, God's going to do it with this earth. And it is no coincidence that God's people are being hated today like no other day before us. That today God's people are being persecuted all across the world for believing and doing exactly what we're doing today. If God wants to use me as salt for taste, that's good for me. If God wants to use me as salt for preservative, that's good for me. If God wants me to be used as a cleansing agent of salt in this life and in this world, that's good enough for me also. But if God also wants to use me as a seasoning for this earth that He's about to burn up, then so be it, amen. be used by God, whichever way God wants me to be used. But I'm supposed to be the salt of the earth. And this whole earth, she's going to burn, baby. She's going to burn. Look what it says in Mark chapter number 9. And you ain't stopping it. Mark chapter number 9. Verse number, let's start reading in verse number 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, notice a little one that believes in Jesus. They don't know anything about turning from their sins or anything. Huh? It is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. There's a real fire, just like Jesus said, ladies and gentlemen. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. You know, when you're done with that barbecue, when you're done with the stove, you shut that fire off, amen? But I got news for you, this fire ain't turning off. This sacrifice is never going to end. This offering will be an everlasting sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? God's going to salt this offering and this sacrifice also. Verse number 46, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Watch this, read it, underline it, believe it. Everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. You don't want to obey Romans 12, 1 and 2 to be a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ? You don't want to believe Jesus Christ when he says in John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life? You don't want to believe Romans 10, 13 that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? You don't want to be a living sacrifice? You'll be a burning sacrifice forever in hell, ladies and gentlemen. And God's going to salt them with fire. The fire that won't be quenched, that never goes out. Verse 48, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, for every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. It's a question. Do you have the salt? Are you the salt? Are you kind? Don't tell me that you're kind when you come to God's house, in the church house. I want to see if you're kind under unkind situations. I don't want to see you being friendly with your friends. I want to see how friendly you are with unfriendly people. I don't want to see people, I don't want to see you love people that love you back. I want to see how you love people who hate you. Are you salt? When people look at you and hear you and see you, do you leave a sweet taste in their mouth or a bitter taste? Are you a preservative? Where you live, where you work, where you come to church? Are you a preservative of the old time religion, the King James Bible, and some decent standards? Everybody's got standards. Just some standards are not everybody else's standards, but everybody's got some kind of standards. Are you a cleansing agent? Are you willing to clean what needs to be cleaned? And prepare yourself for the seasoning, because God has sprinkled the seasoning on this earth. And the three Hebrew boys came out of the fire okay, but some of us may not. Some of us may go through the fire. And God may purpose that. Well, I want to go in with seasoning, amen. I want to go in like the Baptist martyrs of old that were singing when they were being burned alive at the stake, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go the same way our Baptist forefathers died, believing the Word of God was inspired, perfect, inerrant. and preserved, interesting, like salt preserves forever. Are you the salt of the earth? Let's pray, shall we? Let's all stand. Dear God, I know we are bombarded today. Bombarded with false advertisement of having too much salt in our diets. But I believe that's because we're eating the wrong kind of salt in junk food and all kinds of other trash that we're shoveling down our throats that's not good for us. But you said salt is good. And you said we're the salt of the earth. And you said we're supposed to have salt in us. The spiritual application is obvious. Oh, dear God, this world is decaying and rotten because there's not much salt left in the church house. Our society's falling apart. Families are breaking apart because there's not much salt left to preserve that which is holy and decent and godly. Dear God, things seem bitter in life today because salt has not changed the complexion of the meat and the taste to our tongue and lips. Dear God, help us to be the salt that you commanded us to be. Help us to do that which is right. Help us to love people. I understand people are going to be upset and bitter because of what we believe. There's not much we can do about that. But there are people that are hurting. There are people who are just wondering. There are people who are questioning about life and eternity and what happens after death. Oh, dear God, may we do our part to give somebody a salt shaker. May we do our part to give a bit of salt, a shake of salt, a sprinkle of salt of the Word of God. Thank you, dear God, for preserving our souls. Thank you, dear God, for sealing our souls. Thank you, dear God, for the salt that you've given to us at salvation. Please bless this invitation. I pray if there's anybody not saved this morning, I pray, dear God, that they'll come down tonight, right now, and trust you. I pray, dear God, if there's anybody, for whatever reason, maybe their salt's not doing very good, dear God, I pray they'll get their salt recipe straightened out this morning. And they'll start using some salt from the Word of God. Whatever the need is, please meet with us, dear Holy Ghost of God, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God. Christians praying.